Before Mass began, I was looking at our stained glass windows and noting all the saints who are depicted there. But you know, there's glaring omissions. None of you are in those windows. Now, if you said to me, well, Father, you have to die first, I said, well, we'll work on that. I think I have a two-edged sword back in the sacristy. I'll bet you any money that all these people depicted in these stained glass windows never thought that one day they would be in a stained glass window. What do you think? Or that they'd be a statue. I mean, why would anybody think that way? And yet here we do, communion of saints, all these holy people that focused on their faith in Jesus Christ and today are in our church in a stained glass window. Isn't that wonderful? I bring that up because I was reading a very short commentary on the gospel passage, focusing specifically on the rich young man. And the commentator said, and this is, you know, I never would have thought of this. The commentator said, if this rich young man had given away all his wealth and followed Christ, we'd probably know his name today. We'd probably know who he was. We'd probably know that he suffered martyrdom here or there. Maybe he would have been an apostle. Isn't that interesting to think that? But he didn't. And we don't know who this young man was. He's nameless. Whereas, again, if he had given it all away, today we may know who that guy was, and his picture may be up there in one of the stained glass windows. But it's the same for all of us. We're all called to be saints. We know that. We know we want to be holy. Now, we're not thinking that someday maybe there will be a statue that depicts it. You know, the thought of that makes me cringe. Thinking of, you know, a statue of me or a stained glass, the depiction. And yet, if we are holy, who knows? Who knows? That may happen in 100, 150 years. And we strive to be saints, to be holy, not because we're going to get a statue or we're going to be canonized, but because God wants us to be holy people. He wants us to strive and thrive. Now, with the young man, the rich young man, we don't know if later on in his life he did give everything away. It's interesting, it's in the Gospel of Mark, and if you remember the story of the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is arrested, there is a young man there who has nothing but a linen cloak around him, and he runs off naked because the guards hold on to that. And a lot of people say that, well, Mark was depicting himself, but what if it was this rich young man who later on followed Jesus? I mean, there's no proof to that whatsoever, but you never know. He may have changed. He may have given everything over. How do we give over everything to God? How do we know to do it, and how do we actually do it? We do have the scriptures. You know, they tell us what we need to know and to be holy people. We know earthly treasure is nothing. We know that. So why do we hold on to it? We know that the more we give, the more we receive. And Jesus says that, yeah, you'll receive a lot. You'll also receive suffering. But that's treasure in heaven, really. And again, we know that too. That's our real treasure. That's our real bank account up there or wherever heaven is. And we want to keep putting deposits in there through our holy lives by being generous with our time, talent, and treasure. But, and obviously this young man knew all that, but there was something holding him back. And of course, maybe as scripture says, his desire for wealth was just so great he couldn't break out of it. Or to put it another way, and this comes from our first reading from Wisdom, he didn't have the wisdom to act on what he knew to be true. He didn't have the wisdom to say, yes, all that I own is mere earthly treasure. I want heavenly treasure. Therefore, I will go sell all that I have, give to the poor, and then follow Jesus. And the thing is, the wisdom that the first reading tells us about is given to us. We ask for it, God gives it to us, no matter who we are. God wants us to take this wisdom that is a gift and to use it so that we can be saintly people, but we're not always prudent. Again, that's part of wisdom, being prudent. You know, we put things off or we think, well, God will be understanding if I don't do X, Y, and Z. And so we kind of push wisdom away. And instead of embracing it and letting wisdom have its way with us so that we truly do what God wants us to do, we kind of quiet it down, silence it. But if we again go to the second reading from the letter of Hebrews, the Word of God, and wisdom certainly is part of that Word of God, is a two-edged sword. Two-edged, not one edge, two-edged, so that you can cut down this way and come right back up and cut the other way. It's sharp. It really goes right to the core of who we are. That's the Word of God. That's wisdom. But are we allowing that wisdom to get into our very bodies, into our minds and hearts? Or do we put on armor that kind of gets it away from us so that we don't have to follow through on what we know is truly wise, what is truly holy? Are we like the young man and we say, well, I can't do that now, maybe later, maybe never? Or do we keep letting God throw this wisdom at us and we embrace it and we struggle with it and we work on it with other people so that indeed we truly can be free? Because if the young man had given it all away and followed Jesus, he would have known a freedom that can only come from giving everything over to the Lord and trusting in the Lord's goodness. And as the Lord says, you have nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be afraid of, because God can do anything, takes care of everything. All we have to do is to continue to trust in him, to be wise as we are called to be wise, not in earthly ways, but in spiritual, heavenly ways, so that we can be not like the rich young man, but rather people who don't think anything of giving, 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 being generous. But we all want to be holy. And when I say that, we want to be holy because we are so grateful to God for what God has done to us. We want to be like God, and to be like God means to be holy, to be focused, be doing what the Lord tells us. And the rich young man, just as we know all the commandments, we know the teachings of the church, all that information is given to us. But if we don't keep asking for wisdom and wrestling with that wisdom, it's just going to stay that way. It's just going to be facts, information. We have to allow it to get into our hearts, to pierce our hearts, to be like that two-edged sword, to really cut away all the evil, to cut away the sloth, to cut away the lack of kindness, whatever it might be, so that what's left is really the core of who we are, and that core, hopefully, will be focused on doing the will of Jesus Christ. So again, we are given wisdom so that we can follow the commandments, the teachings of the church, but where do we get stuck on the way? Where do we cling like the rich young man to things or people so that we really don't have to give everything away and really, really, truly trust in the Lord? That's always something that is before us. It's always something that we're challenged to think about and to work on, to each day specifically come up with little ideas and little actions that will say to the Lord, look, I'm taking this step, trusting you, using your wisdom, so that I can unburden myself with all these earthly things I'm burdened with and really accept the freedom that you want for me as your child. And it's the truly free people who can go anywhere, do anything at any time, because they're not worried about what's going on in their homes or their things, their stuff. They don't care about that. But we can be like that as well. God's constantly saying, go further because you can go further, because you know how to go further. And as a community, we're called to work with one another so that we can deepen our relationship with God and be truly free, to be truly wise people. And the wiser we are, and people see that wisdom in action in our lives, people want to know where that wisdom came from. And then we can tell them, it comes from God. And God wants them to have that wisdom as well, so that they too can draw near to the Lord and become more and more free in his service, not worrying about earthly treasures or investments, but rather always keeping our focus on Jesus Christ, what he did, and what he calls us to do each day. So as always, we have this challenge every single day. We may fail at what we say we're going to do, but God says, okay, pick yourself up, try something different, but keep going. And I think we're not only going to surprise ourselves, but we're going to surprise other people around us the more we take advantage of the wisdom of God and go forward to be truly free in his service. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe in 100 years, one of you will have your face in one of these stained glass windows or a nice statue, and I'm sure you're thinking, oh, right, yeah. But who knows? Because with God, all things are possible.